Thanks, Blessing Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Saturday, December 13th, 2014. You are listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Gibbs Dube. Here are our top stories this evening. Zimbabwe will, for the first time in history, be paying salaries of three vice presidents following the sacking of Joyce Mujuru by President Robert Mugabe this week.
This is really milking poor Zimbabweans who are already reeling under hard economic times. It is really surprising that the cabinet is being expanded.
Political analysts say President Robert Mugabe's succession still remains unresolved despite the appointment of new vice presidents.
President Robert Mugabe is getting up there in age. The issue is how you deal with that. And I think that for Zimbabwe, they haven't had any other leader. So that's why it's probably a growing pain.
And the festive season is here once again. What do Zimbabweans think? Stay tuned. Zimbabwe will, for the first time in history, be paying salaries of three vice presidents following the sacking of Joyce Mujuru by President Robert Mugabe this week. Constitutional experts say Mrs. Mujuru will be getting a pension equivalent to the salaries of Zimbabwe's new vice presidents Emmerson Mnangagwa and Phelekezela Mpoko. Section 102 of the Zimbabwe Constitution stipulates that a person who ceases to be vice president earns a pension for life. One of the concerned Zimbabweans, Anastasia Moyo of the National Constitutional Assembly Party, tells 2-7 the country can't afford to pay salaries of up to $9,000 a month for the three vice presidents.
This is really milking poor Zimbabweans who are already reeling under hard economic times. It is really surprising that at this time when we should be making a saving at every opportunity and cutting down on the cabinet is being expanded.
So now here, apparently, it appears as if this is a constitutional provision that a vice president should be paid a salary of a sitting vice president if ever that person loses his job or her job. So don't you think that is fair?
It is not fair, as I've already indicated. It is not fair because we have got a situation in Zimbabwe where we have got people that are out of employment, industry has closed, and the people that are being taxed, it's a heavy taxation. In any case, that provision could have been included by the desire of the political parties for later use in order to get favors from their friends.
That was Anastasia Moyo of the NCA Party speaking with Studio 7 from Bulawayo. But ZANU-PF activist Morris Ngwenya says Zimbabweans are to blame for allowing such constitutional provisions.
I would like to draw attention to the people that they are the ones who chose this constitution. They are the ones who brought this constitution into effect. They are not supposed to cry foul now. They are not supposed to include those clauses. They are very much conscious of the fact that there will be a burden to the taxpayer. Therefore, it's not anyone's problem, but the people themselves who chose or who made this whole constitution.
But here we are talking about a situation where we have a country that is almost broke, Mr. Ngwenya. So at the end of the day, this is going to be a serious strain on the fiscus. Don't you think so?
Well, I certainly agree. But like I said, it's not Mrs. Comrade Mujuru's fault or anyone's fault. The people themselves who put that clause in this constitution, they voted for this constitution. Therefore, that the whole thing was supposed to be taken into consideration way back. But also, it is very important to note that I don't think those so-called benefits really amount to any significant impact into the economy, because we are talking about perhaps just the basic without any other allowances that may be very much demanding in terms of the economy. But perhaps these are just insignificant amounts of money.
That was ZANU-PF activist Morris Ngwenya speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. Now that the issue of vice presidents has been resolved, the larger question of succession is still on the minds of many. Looking ahead, analysts say there is no question that President Robert Mugabe will leave office someday, but the question is how. Studio 7's Ndimiyake Makelele spoke with US-based analysts Mwiza Muntali and Ni Akwete, who made the comparisons between Malawi's first president, Kamuzu Hastings Banda, ruled for over 30 years before being forced out by external forces, which included a strong opposition. Muntali says the internal fight in ZANU-PF to succeed President Robert Mugabe is indicative of the weak opposition to take over.
If you look at other independence movements, struggles and parties, there's always comes a point in time when the person who has been leading is really their time to depart from the scene. And in this case, of course, we have President Robert Mugabe is getting up there in age. The issue is how you deal with that. And I think that's for Zimbabwe, they haven't had any other leader. So that's why it's probably a growing pain.
What about you, Mr. Okwete? What are your thoughts?
I'm completely with Mwiza on that point, that everybody understands that a strong-willed a leader as President Mugabe has been, he is departing from the scene, if for no other reason than his age. He understands it. Everybody else understands it. But I'm also of the impression that he is trying to influence who becomes his successor.
Mr. Muntali, you're from Malawi, and you had an aging leader, Mr. Hastings Banda. His party had been in power for many years. And then at some point, 30 years. Mm-hmm. And at some point, it came to an end. So when you make the comparisons, what are you seeing in Zimbabwe now that is reminding you of what maybe you heard or saw in Malawi before he left office?
Slightly different in the sense that it wasn't just an internal dynamics within the party, but also outside forces within Malawi pushed that regime out. Whereas in Zimbabwe's case, yes, you do have opposition parties, but they don't seem to be as strong as the ones were in Malawi in 94. But it's very much a similar situation where you had the head of the party being a little older, but he still ran for those elections. He's actually old, much older than Robert Mugabe is now at that time. He was probably 94 when he ran for that election. And it's probably one of the reasons why they even lost, because people saw him as being there too long, and the party had just too much on its hands with bad leadership. So people wanted to go another route.
Mr. Okwete?
Yes. You know, by the way, I am from Ghana, and, you know, Banda actually lived in Ghana. But, you know, Robert Mugabe also lived in Ghana. So,
and he was married to a Ghanaian woman.
Yes. The first lady of Zimbabwe was Ghanaian, Sally Mugabe. And so I'm just saying, looking at the two situations, Zimbabwe and Malawi, I think one strong difference is the international attitude towards those two leaders, especially Western attitudes. You know, because of apartheid South Africa, and Mr. Banda was pretty soft on South Africa. And therefore, the West actually, in my eyes, pretty much liked him. On the other hand, the West does not like Mr. Mugabe at all. And I think it has actually an interesting connection with the fact that the opposition party in Zimbabwe right now is very weak. In the last elections, they were tainted as being funded by the West. And, of course, Mugabe and the ZANU-PF played it up as, you know, they are puppets of the West, and they didn't do well for some other leadership personal problems. So Mwiza is right that the real fight to succeed Mr. Mugabe, it is the factions inside ZANU-PF, whereas in Malawi, he came from the outside. Because in the case of Zimbabwe, the outside pressures have been painted as imperialism and Westerners trying to impose their will in Zimbabwe, and that has been discredited and tainted.
Ni Akwete is a United States-based analyst who is originally from Ghana. Earlier, we also heard from Mwiza Muntali, host of Africa Now and formerly with Trans Africa. Now it's time for the Women's Forum.
Welcome to the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women, hosted by Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington. Today we have the pleasure of speaking to the founder of Shamwari Yemwanasikana, Miss Ekenia Chifamba. Shamwari Yemwanasikana is one of the organizations in the country that are working to promote women and girl child rights. Ms. Chifamba takes us through some of the programs her organization is currently embarking on to reduce the high incidence of girl child abuse in the country. Welcome to the Women's Forum, Ms. Chifamba.
Welcome. Thank you so much. We've got two programs that we will be having. The first one is called Women as Role Models. Women as Role Models is a program where we're having women who have made it through the top, those key successful figures that include their past, how some of them were abused, how some of them were disadvantaged, but at the end of the day, made it to the top. This program gives the women the space and time to see how best they can also assist these girls with how they have made it to the top in different ways, maybe offering psychosocial support and at times also even resources to see these girls on top.
When you look at the figures of young children, especially girls being abused in Zimbabwe, what is the percentage that you're looking at now? Have you seen a decrease or an increase?
Looking at what's on the ground right now, I would give you statistics. When we had an awareness campaign sometime in August where we were saying churches in Shamaremwanaskana uniting to fight against rape, statistics from the police at that particular point in time were saying that between the first quarter of 2012 until the first quarter of 2014, about 7,000 girls were sexually abused. As an organization, we receive at least 3 cases every day. I do not see a decrease in the number of cases. To me, it seems as if each and every day we keep on having an increase in number of these cases, quite a number of these cases that are coming up. They seem to be increasing all the time.
If there is somebody out there who is listening to this program and needs assistance, what do they do?
Shamwariemwanasikana is at number 5 Chesterfield Road in Harare, Zimbabwe. That's where our head office is, Avon Lee. You can also call us on 0772-607-384 or 0717-395-754. We are also on Facebook, Shamwariemwanasikana. You can also find us on Twitter at Shamwariemwana. You can send us a message. You can send us a call me back. We are on WhatsApp as well.
Time is not on our side. Thank you very much, Ms. Ekenia Chifamba, the co-founder of Shamwari Yemwanasikana, of having been our guest on the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women.
You're welcome.
Hosting the Women's Forum today, I'm Marvelous Mplanga Nyahuye in Washington.
Thanks very much, Marvelous Mplanga Nyahuye. We hope you are going to have a wonderful weekend. Zimbabweans are preparing for the festive season with indications that many people will fail to buy goodies for their families due to the current harsh economic environment. We spoke to several people in the country, including one in Butare.
My name is Mutungwa Rungwa, residing in Butare, Zimbabwe. For my Christmas, I think it's going to be a bit tricky this time around because no disposable income. The cash that is on the market cannot sustain all the needs of all the people for a joyful Christmas holiday. I think it's going to be business as usual. No going to the rural area because I live in Marange. For me and my family to get to Marange, I need more than $100 for transport and maybe surplus for entertainment.
Businesswoman Tomethle Moyo of Bulawayo hopes that that people will be able to buy goodies for their families despite the current economic hardships.
The festive season, because of the rain, the situation is a bit bleak, but it's not that bad. And again, because money circulation is not that good, but with the little bit of money that people have, they'll be able to entertain their families during the festive season.
Where will they get the money to actually do that kind of thing?
Well, in Zimbabwe, most of our people are now entrepreneurs. SMEs are the ones who are actually holding the economy. And you find that with the little bit of money that they're getting from their small businesses, they are able to survive. Business is not doing well, but life goes on.
That was Bulawayo businesswoman Ntombenhle Moyo speaking with Studio 7. And trade unionist Percy Mcijo is an unhappy family man.
It's unfortunate because the forthcoming festive season is coming at a time when most of the employees don't get their salaries on time. Some have not been getting their salaries for the past 5 months or so. And the majority of people that are supposed to be at work at the moment are unemployed. So which means to say that to make ends meet is not an easy thing for the majority of workers, especially in this country, Zimbabwe. It looks like there's not going to be any Christmas to talk about this year, because if workers cannot afford a meal, then there's no Christmas to talk about, because I'm talking of an ordinary meal. It was usually during Christmas time, people, enjoy themselves, but there is nothing that they can, put together, put on the table for their families, because they've got no money that they can use to buy the foodstuffs.
So now, how do you feel when you get home and say today is Christmas and you don't have anything to give your kids?
You actually feel bad, because you'd be coming from work, you'd be somebody who expected to bring money home, but you bring nothing. It's really a very difficult situation. It's a sad scenario that we are finding ourselves in.
That was trade unionist Percy Mcijo speaking with Studio 7 from Bulawayo. And finally, in sports news, the 2014 Region 5 Under 20 Youth Games are set to end this weekend. Sports analyst Muzwetu Hatebe gives us a hint of what has been going on at the games in Zimbabwe's second largest city, Bulawayo.
South Africa at the moment seem to be doing very well. They are at the top, but Zimbabwe is closely following them in terms of winning the medals. And Mozambique are also coming up doing very well. South Africa has been dominant, for example, as of Thursday, of the 16 competed events, they had collected 15 medals, and that's massive there for them there. But we've also been doing very well in athletics, where we managed to rope about 10 gold medals as at Friday, so which was also a good thing. And we've also observed some other sports as well chipping in, like the big gold medal of the netball team when they beat South Africa at White City Stadium. It has also done the nation very proud. The ladies of football team picked bronze. The young Warriors, just to name, they are now in the semifinals and likely also to pick a medal. So in general, it has been exciting. South Africa dominant, Zimbabwe coming up, so are Mozambique as well.
How has been the attendance? We saw from some media reports that the attendance at some games was kind of low.
At least from the games that I've attended, I think the crowds have been reasonable.
That was sports analyst Muzwetu Hatebe speaking with Studio 7's Chris Gande from Bulawayo. The music of Paul Matabele coming to you live from the Voice of America in Washington. Now to recap today's top stories. Zimbabwe will, for the first time in history, be paying salaries of three vice presidents following the sacking of Joyce Mujuru by President Robert Mugabe this week. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Chris Gandhi. This is Kip Stube in Washington, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.